Welcome to Cypherpunk Notes, where we explore digital privacy and sovereignty, not just the how, but the why. Whether you're just starting to question big tech or you're ready to encrypt everything, this is your guide to taking back control of your digital life. If you're not paying for the product, you are the product. You've probably heard that phrase. But do you really understand what it means? It's not just that Facebook shows you ads. It's that Facebook has built the most sophisticated psychological profiling system in human history. And you volunteered all the data. Today, surveillance capitalism and how the business model of the internet turned your attention into a commodity. Last episode, we talked about government surveillance, the NSA, PRISM, mass collection. Today, we're talking about something arguably more pervasive, commercial surveillance. The companies you interact with every day, Google, Facebook, Amazon, and thousands you've never heard of, are tracking, profiling, and monetizing you in ways that would have seemed dystopian a generation ago. Let's break down how it works. Here's a simple question. How does Google make money? Most people know the answer, ads. But that's like saying a casino makes money from gambling. It's technically true, but it misses the mechanism. Google doesn't just show you ads. Google shows you targeted ads. Ads specifically selected based on what Google knows about you. And Google knows a lot. Every search you've made, every email in your Gmail, every video you've watched on YouTube, every place you've been with your Android phone, every website you've visited that uses Google Analytics, which is most of them. Google synthesizes all of this into a profile, a model of who you are, what you want, what you fear, what you'll buy. That profile is what advertisers are paying for, not just eyeballs, your specific eyeballs, at the moment when you're most susceptible to their message. The same is true for Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, and nearly every free service online. The product isn't the app. The product is you, or more precisely, your attention and your data. The first layer of this is the attention economy. Social media platforms aren't designed to inform you or connect you. They're designed to keep you scrolling. Every minute you spend on the platform is another minute of ads served, another minute of data collected, another minute of behavior to analyze. This is why the algorithm shows you content that provokes strong emotions. Outrage keeps you engaged. Fear keeps you coming back. Controversy generates clicks. The business model doesn't optimize for your well-being. It optimizes for engagement, and often what engages us most is what's worst for us. But the companies you interact with directly are just the visible layer. Beneath them is an entire industry you've never heard of. Data brokers. Data brokers are companies that collect, aggregate, and sell personal information. They buy data from apps, websites, loyalty programs, public records, and each other. They compile it into detailed profiles and sell those profiles to anyone willing to pay. Want to know who in a specific zip code has diabetes and is interested in gambling? A data broker can tell you. Want a list of pregnant women in a certain income bracket? Available for purchase. Want to identify people who visited a particular location, say an abortion clinic or a mosque or a gun store? Location data brokers have that. Most people have no idea these companies exist, let alone what data they hold. And there's almost no regulation of what they can collect or sell. The end goal isn't just advertising. It's behavioral prediction, and increasingly behavioral manipulation. Shoshana Zuboff, who coined the term surveillance capitalism, calls this the behavior modification business. The data collected isn't just used to show you relevant ads. It's used to predict what you'll do next and to subtly influence those decisions. This goes beyond, you looked at shoes, here are shoe ads. It includes personalized pricing, showing different prices to different users based on their predicted willingness to pay. Airlines have been caught doing this. Retailers have experimented with it. Emotional targeting. Facebook has demonstrated the ability to identify when users are feeling insecure, stressed, or in need of a confidence boost, and to offer that information to advertisers. Political manipulation. Cambridge Analytica used Facebook data to build psychological profiles of voters, then targeted them with personalized political messaging designed to influence elections. The more data collected, the more accurate the predictions. The more accurate the predictions, the more valuable the manipulation. And all of this data is permanent. Something you posted at 16 is still in a database somewhere. A search you made during a difficult moment in your life, recorded forever. Location data showing where you were 10 years ago, still available. This creates what some call the chilling effect. If everything is recorded, people self-censor. You don't search for things you're curious about. You don't visit websites that might look bad. You present a sanitized version of yourself online, not because you're doing anything wrong, but because you know you're being watched. The surveillance isn't just collecting data, it's changing behavior. That's the point. Here's where last episode connects to this one. Remember how we said law enforcement sometimes buys data from brokers to bypass warrant requirements? That's the intersection of commercial and government surveillance. The NSA doesn't need to tap your phone if Google already has your location history and can be compelled to hand it over. The FBI doesn't need to follow you if data brokers are already selling your movements to anyone with a credit card. Private surveillance feeds public surveillance. The data collected by apps and advertisers becomes evidence in court cases, immigration enforcement, and criminal investigations. You're not just the product, you're the evidence. So what can you do? First, recognize the trade. Free services aren't free. You're paying with your data, your attention, and your privacy. Sometimes that trade is worth it. Often it isn't. Second, use privacy-respecting alternatives when they exist. DuckDuckGo instead of Google Search, ProtonMail instead of Gmail, Signal instead of SMS. We'll cover these in detail in future episodes. Third, be intentional. You don't have to quit the internet, but you can be thoughtful about what you share, what you install, and what permissions you grant. Every app asking for location access, every service asking for your real name, every website asking for cookies, that's a decision you can make consciously. The surveillance economy depends on your passive participation. Awareness is the first step to taking back control. That's it for today. If you want to go deeper, I recommend Shoshana Zuboff's book, The Age of Surveillance Capitalism. It's long, but it's the definitive work on how we got here. Next episode, we get practical. It's time to build your personal threat model, understanding what you specifically need to protect and from whom. Until then, stay private, stay sovereign. Learn more at cypherpunkschool.com. This has been Cypherpunk Notes.